that on one occasion we debated a debating team from another club that used to meet at the Ikes.
I see. I think in those days debating was quite a popular
sport.
Sport, yeah. What grade school did you go to?
Franklin.
Franklin. And high school?
Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue. And then what university did you go to?
University of Pittsburgh, both in college and law school.
And law school. And when did you graduate from law school?
1932.
Okay. Jean, can you stop it? It's so easy to get sidetracked on these things. The religion, would you like to say something about the religion,
well,
the atmosphere of the home?
Yeah, company? What you said, there was one question that I really didn't answer in as great a detail as I wanted to. You asked what the relationship was with our parents and the children in the home. Whenever possible, we always ate together. And the dinner table was always a time for talking about almost anything without any limitations. Particularly on the Sabbath and on the holidays, we all sat around the table, and it was a festive meal, always on the holidays and on the Sabbath. During the week, the food was wholesome but very simple and plain. But anything of the goodies was always saved for the Sabbath or the anthem. There was no such thing as putting on a new garment for the weekday. Everything had to be saved for Shabbos or the Yom. Father had clothes that he wore only on the Sabbath and on the holidays. He wouldn't wear it during the week. Even to the hat and to the long coat. He would put on the long coat below the knees for the Sabbath and the holidays. And you always had to, for the Sabbath, you would always have, Father would always sing the Zmiris Friday night and then on Yom Tov, and we always, when we were youngsters, we had to wash our hands before sitting down at mealtime. And naturally, after the meal, you always had to engage in the blessings after the meal. And Father always had a vast storehouse of anecdotes. He had a keen sense of humor. There's a picture of him, by the way. And he was familiar. He didn't spend very much time reading the newspaper. He didn't have time for it. But he did read, as he said, the Keplach, the headlines and the front page. And so he knew what was going on in the world all the time. He'd never spend time reading the Romanin or in the Yiddish papers.
Dear Abby.
Or the Bintel Brief or something like that. He wouldn't spend time on that. But on anything that was significant, he was familiar with it. And he would always engage in discussions of it. And always had a way of weaving into his conversation some reference to the Talmud or some rabbi saying or something like that. And he enjoyed a good joke and traded one with you all the time. He was also a very handy man with his hands and, you know, doing little repairs and adjustments in the house. And come on Sukkot, he would build his own Sukkot.
Did you help him? Did
yes.
The children help him?
Please. I think it's a story that I've told around the house. When we lived at 1410 Epiphany Street, there were two houses of three stories each that had a common backyard. So in those days, there was a so-called community sukkah that was built for everybody living in those two buildings. And he would help erect correct that. And I remember inside there were separate tables for everybody that wanted to use the sukkah
in that backyard.
It was a rather large one. Then when we moved into 1414 Epiphany Street, and I told you I was just under six at that time, he had to build a new sukkah for himself. And we had the yard that was such that the kitchen window led out to the yard. And on one side was the fence, so he had to build the sukkah with using the fence and an addition on top of the fence as one wall, and then the house wall was another wall, and then he had to build two walls. And I remember he got some long boards that they used to use in packing molding from the picture frame house, as for the longer boards. And I sat as a youngster, I remember, pulling nails out of those boards, and then also sat on the board while he sawed them to the proper size. And he spent a long time that summer preparing for that sukkah, because it had to be fashioned so that it could be used year after year. You know, disassembled, taken down into the cellar, and then brought up again. So I remember that very vividly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems then that your home life was centered around the Sabbath and religious holidays and everything.
Father didn't do anything that didn't have some connection with a blessing
religion.
Or religion. It isn't a question of just keeping religion for Sabbath or the holidays.
It's a way of life.
Every waking hour had something to do with it. With the religious observance.
Were all the children followed his lead in being as observant? Or did they?
I can't say that. I would say that our home was such that we would never do anything in our parents' presence that would hurt their feelings.
In other words, you respected them completely.
Right, in their presence. What they didn't see maybe wouldn't hurt them. But not in their presence would we do anything that would you know, openly flaunt them. Mm-hmm. Later on, when we got naturally older and more independent, I'm sure we did a lot of things that were not to my father's liking. Uh-huh. But he couldn't help himself.
Right. It's like you also couldn't, all the children couldn't help but be good, upstanding, morally sound citizens with all of this teachings going on.
This is a basic philosophy that, would you say, has carried over in all your brother and sister's lives, this basic attachment, while not as completely observant as your father, but there is still a traditional holding on to this type of thinking. Would you say this is true? In other words, the Sabbath is important, the holidays are important.
The degree of observance differs among all of us.
I see. You know,
some more observant, some less observant. But I'm sure that all of us do retain a deep respect for the religious practice.
I see.
Are you all affiliated with synagogues?
I think for the most part, yes.
Are they all, are all your brothers and sisters, brother and sisters, belong to Orthodox synagogues, or have some gone to conservative Reformed?
I don't know. They belong to conservative synagogues. I don't, none of them belong to the Reformed.
I see. Did...
Hmm? Well, I mean, Saul, when he lived in Kansas City and in Washington, D.C., belonged to a conservative synagogue. And now he's living in Chicago, and I don't know whether he belongs to any synagogue as a member at the moment.
I see. Did your brothers and sisters attend school, the same schools that you did? Did they go on to a university study?
All of us started and finished in the Franklin Public School.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean finished? You
finished the first 8 grades.
You went beyond.
My oldest sister, Fan, went the first 2 years in high school at Central High. Mm-hmm. And finished her last 2 years at Chumley High. And then she went on to teacher's training school at Colfax and taught in public schools up until she got married, I think, in 1924.
Okay.
My sister Rose went to high school at Fifth Avenue High School in those days when Fifth Avenue gave the commercial course and Central gave the academic course.
Mm-hmm.
She never went to college. Out of high school, she went into work as a bookkeeper, stenographer down on Fifth Avenue in one of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us all went to Fifth Avenue High School. And let's see, my brother and I went to University of Pittsburgh. And Jeanette went to Carnegie Mellon, didn't she? Yeah, Jeanette and Naomi went to Carnegie Tech.
What were their majors?
In social work.
And both of them in social work.
And Hilda also went, Hilda went to university. Yeah, Hilda went to University of Pittsburgh, and she also finished in social work.
And what sort of work does your brother do?
My brother went to Pitt and majored, I think, in political science and history. And when he finished in 1931, could not get a teaching position at the university, which is what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he went to work for the Department of Public Assistance.
As
a desk
investigator,
yeah.
I see. What does he do now,
then? And then he was with the department here, and then he went to Harrisburg, again with the Department of Public Assistance. And then went to work for the well, it was the Social Security Administration or what in the federal government. Well, that was later. He was with the Social Security Administration, and while in Harrisburg, took some additional courses. He always took additional courses at the university. And then went to Kansas City with the Social Security Administration and worked in a an area office that covered, I think, four states. And then he took a position with the Census Bureau and took some additional studies in statistics and qualified for work in the Census Bureau. And he reached pretty well to the top and couldn't go much higher there, and they came to Pittsburgh and was working in the research department of the
wasn't health education?
No, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's now been wiped out. It's a part of the United Way, but the Allegheny County. No. Well, funny, the
health and welfare type of thing.
It was the planning organization for the community, chest, and not part of the community chest.
Well, that I think is good enough. We don't have to have the exact. How
And then from there, around 1964, or thereabouts, he went to Chicago and is with and set up a research department for the Jewish Charities, which is similar to the United Jewish Federation here in Pittsburgh, and is still with them there. He'll be retiring, I think, shortly. Reaching age 65.
Sounds like he moved around and accomplished quite a bit. How was your education financed, yours and your brother and your sisters? Did you finance your own education, or was your father able to help you? Did you work while you were going to school?
I got a little bit of help from a scholarship from some patrons from the Hebrew Institute for two semesters when I started at the University of Pittsburgh. And then the whole time while I was at the college, I taught Hebrew.
At the Hebrew Institute? Or?
Well, at various places. I taught for a year at the Beth Shalom in 1925. And then I taught at the Hebrew Institute for a short period. Then I gave several classes at the Jewish Home for Babies and Children up on Brackenridge Street. And I went back and taught at the Hebrew Institute for a while. And then in around 1929, I took a position teaching down at Aliquippa and was there for about 3.5 years.
And Aliquippa, you traveled back and forth?
I traveled back 5 days a week.
Or better. I see.
Yeah, I taught every day down there. Taught Hebrew during the week and then conducted and superintended the Sunday school on Sunday morning.
About how much time did you spend teaching every day?
Teaching, I would say, from 2 to 3 hours a day teaching.
Did you find time for any social life in addition to this?
Not too much, but I squeezed a little in.
What type of social activities did you squeeze in at that time? And what form did it take?
Well, we still had that club that I told you about, the Charles I. Aaron Club that started at the Hebrew Institute, and it continued for quite a number of years. Even later on, we used to meet at the YMHA, and we would have occasional social events, like a dinner or a dance. Then while we were on the campus at the university, I was active as one of the organizers of the AVUKA, spelled A-V-U-K-A-H, which was the first collegiate Zionist organization.
The first in the city of Pittsburgh?
First nationally, and we had a chapter here in Pittsburgh.
I see. You organized it, you say?
No, not I by myself, but I was one of the group that organized.
Do you remember any of the other people who were in that group, both at the Hebrew Institute and with this AVUKA group?
Well, one of the principal organizers that I assisted was a fellow by the name of David Bonder, who later went on to study at the Jewish Theological Seminary and devoted a lifetime in Jewish education. He's now retired, living in Jerusalem. There were a number of boys, Hyman Hoffman and Harry Eisenfeld. This was a group that we were very friendly with from the Hebrew Institute, and we continued on the campus. And of course, I started at the university in 1925, and at the same time, the YMHA first opened its doors on Belfield Avenue at the same time. So we had a very active program at the YMHA for college students.
I see. Was that the AVUKA, or
well,
that was something
the
else?
The AVUKA, and in general, the Y sponsored a lot of activity among the college students.
Specifically
at that time.
For college students,
yeah.
Similar to the Hillel?
Well, there was no Hillel in Pittsburgh in those days, but there was the Isaac Cedar Educational Center, and then there was also a fellow by the name of Dr. Kolodny, who preceded Miriam Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you're familiar with that name. She spent a great many years here, and they really had a very active program among for teenagers and college students.
What type of programs did they offer, for example?
Well, there were discussion groups, and they used to have seminars, and they used to have the Y also sponsored a debating tournament. In which the Avuka participated together with some of the fraternities and sororities.
Were there subject matter matters primarily around Jewish issues or all types of issues? Political?
I would say all types of issues, but a greater emphasis on the
Jewish
aspects,
issues.
Yes.
Was there...
And there was also a basketball tournament. Among the fraternities and which the Avuka participated in those days.
Were these primarily also Zionist groups, pro-Zionist, at this time?
No, the Avuka was the only pro-Zionist group. The rest of them were not.
But they were interested in Jewish matters as far as Jewish culture. Did they present plays? Did they... use the Yiddish language in any way or present programs in Yiddish?
No.
English?
All English.
And based around all types of subject matter?
I would say yes, but there was no Yiddish, definitely. And I don't know whether there was much activity on along the lines of plays. That was a separate department, the dramatic department.
Did you attend the theater very much at that time?
No.
Or movies?
Occasionally. I would say while we were in school, it was a common practice to cut some classes and get down to the Aldi on Friday afternoon.
I see. As long as you were home in time for Shabbos. Where did Rose come into the picture? Around this time, or?
No, that was considerably later.
Considerably later. Did you date much, or was your activity primarily in groups of young men?
I think the latter would be.
Primarily in groups of
yeah.
young men. Or did they mingle with girls' groups, or was men's groups, like the debating teams, men against men? Women involved in any way in these groups, or were they primarily men's groups?
Well, in those days, the Y also used to have Saturday night dances, catering to teenagers, and the Y was a different institution than what it is today.
In what way?
Well, it's a settlement house now,
yeah.
catering to the youngsters.
Right.
In those days, it started with the teenagers.
I see. It was geared towards
teenagers and adults,
rather than
youngsters.
Then usually, you say the girls would come in groups and the boys would come in groups and they'd meet there
yes.
rather than come as dates.
Right. And I wouldn't hold myself out as an authority for what the activities were like in the dating and so on, because as you said before, I was pretty busy and to have a date in the middle of the week was unheard of.
Saturday night.
Well, Saturday night maybe,
Sunday.
Or Sunday night, I guess. But and then also in those days, money was not loose.
Uh-huh.
And a date was something that you couldn't always afford freely.
And if you did have a date occasionally, what form did it take? Go to a movie or go to a concert or picnic?
Picnics occasionally, as I say, the club affairs were consisted of a dinner or just a dance and with some refreshments and a picnic in the summertime.
And most of the social life was based around the Y and your club groups.
I would say.
Okay. Before you go on, I would still like to know the role of the mother in the home.
Right.
Women in general at that time.
Well, unfortunately for myself, my identification with father was much stronger than with mother, for the simple reason that mother took sick in 1921 after giving birth, or even before. before giving birth to my youngest sister. So you would say that, well, as a matter of fact, the last time when I remember mother being out was coming to my bar mitzvah. And she was, I say, bedridden for 4 years after that. So my memories of mother really go back to the very tender years. I was 17 when she died, so you can see that we missed her very much. Same time, I do have very vivid memories of many things that she did. She worked terribly hard. There was no such thing as having a woman come in for the cleaning. And there were no washing machines in those days. And there were no dishwashers in those days. So that...
Was there any family entertaining?
When you say some, what would you
well,
say?
Well, I think, as I say, being a youngster, you know, under 13, you didn't pay much attention to what mother did in going out to a meeting or society. But I think... I know she belonged to the Bikur Cholim Society, which is the visitation of the sick.
And did she have the time to go out and make visits with all her activity?
In those days, neighbors were closer than brother and sister. The doors were open to neighbors, and you were always welcome at a neighbor's house all the time. And you always brought a pot of soup over somebody
who
was sick.
Right.
And come to Purim, you always prepared a lot of baked goods and fruit, and you, I had to carry the shalach monos to the various neighbors, and you'd take something over there, and you'd bring back something from them. Mm-hmm. And I know she would be up bright and early on Friday mornings, and when we would come down to go to school, there were some fresh kuchens already baked early Friday morning. When she went to the synagogue for services, there would always be a group of women around her, and she would read out loud to them.
Oh, she was able to read in their
class. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so she...
She was always reading what they call the manaloshin.
Did she hold a special place in the community as the Rebbetzin, as the rabbi's wife? Did that give her more of a position of respect and being looked up to because she was a rabbi's wife and also because of...
Again, I can't judge that. It's hard for me to judge that. But I know she was highly respected because while she was bedridden, there was a constant stream of women that would used to come to visit her. Playing good friends.
Right. How was the home taken care of while she was ill? Who took care of the cooking and the baking and the cleaning at that time?
Well, then we all had to pitch in. Father became a cook. Mm-hmm. And whereas he probably didn't boil any water beforehand, he learned how to prepare a meal. He took instructions from mother as to how to prepare this dish and this dish, and,
is that right?
And he did it. And, of course, because of his activity, during the day, he could be home. See, it isn't as though he was working in a store or someplace like that, because his activity was, say, in the morning, and he'd can finish services, and he'd come home. And then he'd be home again until close to 3:30 or 4 o'clock, when he'd have to be at the Institute, and then have to rush from there down to the Washington Street Shul, and then go back to the Institute.
Sounds like he was a busy, busy gentleman.
And yes, he was. And he didn't spend a nickel freely for the car for either. He walked.
Was he in very good health? Was he a robust man?
He was in good health. He always walked straight. And he's a good walker.
And with all this, did he maintain a sense of humor?
Oh, yeah.
And who actually gave your mother the physical care that she needed?
Well... I had two older sisters, of course, in the house, and they took care of the laundry. And then when my older sister Van married and left the house, why, my older sister Rose, she really became the mother for the younger kids.
Did she?
Even though she was working.
Yeah.
But among the other things,